shirts was simply a bend in the road with a name, an inn for coaches, a blacksmith's shop, and a small store with the word souvenirs written optimistically on a scrap of cardboard in the window. And that was it. It sat and baked silently in the afternoon sun. In the middle of the road, an elderly spaniel dozed in the dust. Tiffany had never seen souvenirs before, so she went into the store and spent half a penny on a small wood carving of two shirts on a washing line and two postcards entitled View of Two Shirts, which showed the souvenir shop and what was probably the same dog sleeping in the road. When she came out, she found Miss Tick frowning back the way they'd come.
"Something the matter, Miss Tick? What? Oh, no, I just... Look, shall we have something to eat?"
In the inn, Miss Tick found a woman who'd promised them some scones and tea. Miss Tick also asked for a fresh egg in its shell. They sat and ate on a bench outside the inn, but Miss Tick kept staring at the road.
"Is there something wrong, Miss Tick?"
"I'm not sure."
The teacher removed her straw hat and took from inside it a couple of pieces of wood and a reel of black thread. She rolled up her sleeves, looked around quickly in case two shirts had sprouted a population, then broke off a length of thread and picked up the egg. Egg, wood, thread and fingers blurred, and there was the egg hanging from Miss Tick's fingers in a neat little black net. Tiffany was impressed, but Miss Tick hadn't finished. She began to draw things from her pockets. Beads, a couple of feathers, a glass lens, strips of coloured paper, all got threaded into the tangle of wood and cotton.
"What's that?" said Tiffany.
"A shamble."
"Is it magic?"
"Not exactly. It's trickery. Now, let me see what I can see."
She pushed the fingers of her right hand into the spiderwork of threads and pulled. Egg, glass, beads and feathers danced through the tangle.
"Oh, it's like Cat's Cradle."
"Played that, have you?"
Miss Tick concentrated, staring into the complex web she'd created.
"Yes, there's something."
And panic gripped Tiffany. Sunlight reflected off the white dusty road. Bees hummed. But it was all wrong. She could feel pressure bearing down on her, pushing at her, squeezing the landscape under the bright light of day. Miss Tick's cradle of threads was motionless beside her, frozen in the moment of bright horror. Then the threads moved by themselves. The egg danced, the glass glinted, the beads slid and jumped from string to string. The egg burst, the coach rolled in. It arrived, dragging the world behind it in a cloud of dust and hooves. Harness jingled, horses steamed, doors opened. The pressure went. No, it fled. Miss Tick pulled out a handkerchief and started to wipe egg off her dress. The rest of the shamble had disappeared into a pocket with remarkable speed. The richer passengers got out of the coach and the poorer ones climbed from the roof. Grumbling and stamping their feet, they disappeared into the inn.
"Now," said Miss Tick as the door swung shut, "see that little wood up there? We're going for a stroll, and when Mr. Crabber the Carter sees your father, he'll say he dropped you off here before the coach arrived, and everyone will be happy, and no one will have lied."
Tiffany picked up the suitcase.
"Miss Tick?"
"Yes?"
"You've got yolk on your hat."
"It's seen worse. Let's go."
They trudged away.
"What happened just now?"
"I don't know." "You feel all right?"
"Yes, but you are very nervous, and the egg exploded."
"Yes."
"A shamble, you see, can be used as a simple magic detector and amplifier.
It's actually very crude, but it's always useful to make one in times of distress and confusion. I probably didn't make it right. And you do sometimes get big discharges of random magic.
You made it because you were worried.
Worried? Certainly not. I am never worried.